You're listening to Lake Effect on WUWM. I'm Stephanie Lecce. Tis the season. Everywhere, from kindergarten concerts to those by the MSO, we are awash in holiday music. For those who love the beauty of the human voice raised in song, one upcoming concert celebrates Milwaukee's strong choral tradition. This Saturday evening, the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center in Brookfield presents a concert by both the Master Singers of Milwaukee and the Milwaukee High School of the Arts Concert Chorale. Both ensembles will perform separately before joining forces at the end of the program. Raymond Roberts is the chair of the music department at the High School of the Arts, and Dr. Eduardo Garcia Novelli is the conductor and music director of the Master Singers. They join Lake Effect's Bonnie North in the studio, and Garcia Novelli explains the structure of the Master Singers.
There's a group of singers that come from different walks of life, but many of them have had professional training. And they have been singing together for a long, long time. So they know each other really well, and they sound well each other. So that's a good thing.
What are some of the challenges that you find working with, I guess, a sort of a semi-professional group? I mean, certainly aspiring to the professional sound, but not having a full-time job to be able to do that.
Oh, I guess like any group, I think the biggest challenge is just to rehearse once a week. And that will be perhaps the biggest challenge, you know, to see them only once a week when you have something that you want to revisit, so on. You cannot do it the next day or the day after. It has to be done the next week. And that will be perhaps the only challenge that we have.
And Raymond, you are at the other end of the spectrum in that you're dealing with high school students and people at the very, very beginnings of their careers.
Yes, they're exciting. Their energy is very contagious. I really enjoy working with his age group, and it's fun to see their aspirations and their visions about what they could potentially do in music. And even if they don't pursue music vocationally, to see them start to see that there's a lifelong pursuit of keeping music in your life and how music can enrich your life throughout your entire life is a wonderful thing to see. And doing collaborations like this with Master Singers is a great way for my students to see people continuing to pursue their passion.
Even if it's not a career.
Absolutely.
Right. When you're working with student choral singers, what are some of the things that you have to focus on to get them to pay attention to and to start listening for?
I really focus primarily on the fundamentals of good, healthy singing. Once we've established that, I expose them to quality music from every time period, every style, every geographic location on the planet. And as is always the case, people respond to quality music. So there's nothing else to do after that. It's just to keep them engaged in making good music and being part of something excellent. We all want to be part of something excellent in our lives. And if you can find a passion and a vehicle for that, and singing seems to be that for most of my students, then we've already put them on a path towards success in whatever field they end up choosing to pursue.
Now, one of the things I find interesting for both groups, I would imagine, is that solo singing is so very different from choral singing. I mean, yes, the techniques in terms of producing a sound are the same, but it's a very different approach. And people who tend to be more soloists sometimes have to be reined in a little bit, you know, or to be taught to listen in a different sort of way. Do you find that true? And I'm opening up to both of you, not just for the young people, but for the people who have careers and are coming to Master Singers later.
Indeed, it's a big point. In fact, in Master Singers, I'm smiling because we have a number of wonderful, wonderful singers, and many of them have had a lot of training as soloists. So there you have it, a little bit of a challenge as well for us to get to that wonderful sound that is more a communal sound, a sound for a group of individuals sounding together as opposed to a soloist. Something that, I don't know, it doesn't happen so much when you talk to instrumentalists, right? Because, I mean, when you play in an orchestra and versus playing a solo, I don't think there's so much of a difference there. But yes, we do have that, and it's sometimes it becomes a challenge. Yeah, I would say so.
Is that true for the high schoolers too?
Well, sure. I think maybe referring to your analogy with the instrumentalist, I think there's so much more variety of timbres in the human voice based on our composition biologically,
yes.
that I think we probably have harder row to hoe with that specific situation. With my students, I really want them to find their maximum sound without sounding like a big individualistic solo singer. Because from my perspective, I'm really wanting them to explore and see, well, what are my possibilities? What does this body of mine sound like when I'm making music and when I'm singing? So once I get to that point, there's a little bit of refining and polishing through specific techniques and mostly listening. It's really about listening. What am I contributing as an individual singer to my section and to the entire choir? But am I bringing focus to myself rather than to the entire choir? So opening their ears is probably the biggest challenge.
I used to say that I'd like my singers to have ears that are bigger than their own bodies. You sing with your ears. I say that many times.
Now, master singers, how many in the chorus?
It's a group of around 30 members. Sometimes we have 32, sometimes
okay.
we have
28. So not huge numbers on a part.
No.
So you sing basically four parts, soprano, alto, tenor, bass,
yes.
more
mm-hmm.
or less. Is that true for the students as well, Raymond?
I have a larger ensemble this year. The advanced choir is about 80 students.
That's big.
It's big. And I've been doing quite a bit, six, seven, and eight part music this fall, particularly with the larger group. But it is, you know, the traditional soprano, alto, tenor, bass. But I've had the luxury of doing some divided choral music, which really adds a nice heft and nice harmonics.
And it must be fun for the kids.
They absolutely love it. I never tell them how hard it is, what they're doing, because then they'd stop trying. So I just present it to
them.
Don't
use words like polyphony. You
That's
know?
Right. Yeah. Just present it to them, and they like how it sounds, and yeah. they do a good job.
So now with this concert, how are you working together, and are you also having pieces that will celebrate each individual group?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And one of the things that I mentioned at the beginning, you know, we rehearse only once a week, so it's perhaps challenging to do something together with Raymond's choir, but indeed we are. So we put together the concert in a way that they have a portion of the concert they'll do on their own, and it's certainly a really varied and rich program of music. And then we have our own portion as well, but in the end we'll come together and we have two numbers together. So that's a wonderful way to celebrate music and also to celebrate a composer who's having a 100th anniversary of his birth, which is Benjamin Britten, one of the biggest composers of all times, but particularly one of the biggest composers in the 20th century.
And for choral music. Wonderful.
A towering composer
for that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it was his 100th anniversary.
1913,
yeah.
And died in 1976. So yes, 100 years of his birth.
So what are you doing?
Together, we're doing at the very end a very simple but incredibly beautiful piece called A New Year Carol. Not many people know it, but it's a simple, sometimes people think that simple is easy and without worth or quality, and totally opposing and describing this piece. Simple as simplicity of means, but amazing, amazing composition. It's unison. That's why I say simple. It's just unison, but it's amazingly beautiful, A New Year Carol. On our end, the master singers, we're going to do A Boy Was Born. It is a long piece. It's a suite of six or seven movements, and it's a 32-minute piece. But we're only doing the first one, the theme, the main theme. That's only a two-minute-and-a-half piece. A piece that he wrote when he was only 19 years old, and he was studying at the Royal College of Music in London. But a seminal piece in choral music in general, but in his own production.
I'm fascinated by the unison one. That has to be probably the hardest thing on the program that you're doing.
Yes, it is. But it's as an incredible way to say goodbye in the concert. I'm sorry that I'm anticipating the end, but it's certainly not a bombastic way to say goodbye, but it's a very expressive and heartfelt way to end the concert.
So what are some of the pieces, other than the ones that we've mentioned, that your students are doing?
My students are doing three separate small sets on the concert, and we're going to open with some music from the African choral tradition. We're doing a folk carol from Namibia entitled Meguru. We're doing a South African Xhosa song called Lizela. And then crossing the pond, we're doing an African-American spiritual entitled Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho. So that's a nice group of songs to start the concert with some energy and some rhythmic vitality. And then we have a set in the middle tempo-wise, it kind of brings us into a more reflective mode. We're doing a jazzy arrangement of In the Bleak Midwinter, the Holst tune. And then the chorale will be performing one of Francis Poulenc's four motets for Christmas, this one being entitled Quem Vidistis, talking about the shepherds being told about the star to follow. And it's interesting. It's been my students' favorite piece of the year so far.
I was going to say interesting because Poulenc is not easy.
Not easy, but beauty is beauty. Quality is quality. And the students absolutely love kind of the simplicity of the chant, but then how there's some extra harmonic convergences and divergences in the piece.
It wouldn't be prolonged if it wasn't. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. So they've really, really enjoyed that piece.
So how is it performing out at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center? Have the students been out there before?
This group of students has not. Last time I performed there was in 2008.
Okay, so this is going to be fun for them because that's a beautiful space to perform in.
It is beautiful. I had a concert last year, and I found it a wonderful, wonderful venue and great acoustics. And not a huge hall, but it's incredibly beautiful and very well set and sounds great.
Well, I want to thank both of you so much for coming in today and telling us about this concert. Eduardo and Raymond, thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie, for inviting us. It was a great time. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Dr. Eduardo Garcia Novelli is the conductor and music director of the Master Singers of Milwaukee, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. Raymond Roberts is the chair of the music department at the Milwaukee High School of the Arts. They spoke with Bonnie North. The Master Singers and the High School of the Arts Concert Chorale will perform separately and together Saturday evening, beginning at 6 at the Sharon Lynn Wilson Center for the Arts in Brookfield. There's more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. I'm Stephanie Lecce. Great to have you listening today, and I really do hope you have a fantastic Festivus and can be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh Air is next.